Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
All right, well, we've been looking back, and isn't that a lovely picture that we've just had from the small to the great of all the Lord's been doing? And now we're going to turn our minds to the future, and we'll come to our second reading. Alison's going to lead us through this. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 2. And it's a wonderful passage thinking about the way that ministry works. That's all I'll say for now, Alison.
Thank you, John. So this second reading is slightly different. We're going to be sort of using the Lectio Divina style. I'm going to read it through once, just get a sort of sense of it. And then we'll be reading it through a second time and sort of be processing a bit more. So the first reading, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 5. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. I'm now going to read it a second time. And this time, as I read it, just listen to the scripture and just see if there's a word or a phrase that comes into bold print for you or jumps out, something that begins to speak to you, and just be open to receiving whatever that is. So, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 5. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Amen.
All right, I'd love to share just a couple of thoughts from these verses as we think about this Thy Kingdom Come initiative, a time we're thinking about the spread of the gospel. Here in these verses was the Apostle Paul on his missionary journeys, writing to the church back in Corinth where he had been. And four brief thoughts as we make these verses our own. First of all, here was a man who was absolutely set on other people coming to faith. Here was a person absolutely set on other people coming to faith. It starts off 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. When I came to you, brothers. Now, it's just a couple of words, but there's a lot of background there. Any of you who know the history of Paul's journeys, when I came to you involves getting shipwrecked, basically getting left for dead, kind of eaten by, attacked by snakes, beaten up numerous times. When I came to you, brothers, that is an absolute miracle. That guy could have stopped so many times and just gone back home and, you know, drawn his kind of Pharisee pension and no one would have minded. But he was absolutely set on other people coming to faith, and so he went. If we're going to see revival in our nation and in our church, we need to be set on other people coming to faith. Not for ourselves, not because we want to feel good about ourselves, but just because we are longing for the glory of God. And I start with myself there. Here was a man set on other people coming to faith. Wonderfully, we have a load of people in our church who already have that. And it's wonderful to be together with you. And I can see a number of you right here. Little lights. You rub off on the rest of us. It's fantastic. I'm going to point him out because he's not here today and he'd be angry with me if he wasn't. Matt King, for example, started Kick London, which reaches something crazy like 1 million people per week, just because he so wanted to reach people with the gospel. And he thought, fine, through football, I'm going to reach people in schools, miles away from the church, with the gospel. Massive passion. We could have thought of loads of other people, and many of you here. Let's keep kindling that amazing passion to see people come to faith, a passion for souls. D.L. Moody was a famous evangelist, and he had this whole thing where he would not let a day go past without sharing his faith with someone. And sometimes he'd get to the end of the day and he'd forgotten and he'd get into bed, and he'd be in pajamas, you know, brush his teeth. And he's like, oh no, the day is finished. And I haven't shared the gospel with anyone. So he'd get out, you know, get his clothes back on again and go outside and go and accost some poor soul by a lamppost. I'm really sorry, you know, I have this promise to God and I've got to tell you the gospel. I mean, you don't have to follow that particular example. But I love that. I love that. Would you get out of bed? Because he's just like, oh, I'm not ready to go to sleep because I want to share the good news with someone. Paul was a man set on other people coming to faith. Secondly, here was a man absolutely focused on the cross of Jesus Christ. Absolutely focused on the cross of Jesus Christ. I found out today the etymology of the one-trick pony phrase. Does anyone know about this? Does anyone know where it comes from? Okay, so it turns out it comes from the circus. Apparently, in the circus, you have ponies that do tricks, but you have ponies that only do one trick, and it's a bit disappointing, right? Paul was a one-trick pony in Corinth. And actually, people were rather disappointed. One trick. Do you know what this one trick was? Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's my only trick. That's the only thing I'm wheeling out here. That is all I want to know. I resolve to know nothing among you apart from Jesus Christ and him crucified. He's like, I want to know this. The great Baptist preacher Spurgeon put it like this. He said, Paul promoted the gospel by proclaiming the gospel. Do you get that? How did he get people to, you know, promote the gospel? He told the gospel in order to commend it to other people. Now, that seems so obvious. Why would you do anything else? But so often it's tempting, isn't it, to think to go another way. Oh, if I sort of, I don't know, if I come up with a nice argument of some kind over here, or if I do something else around here, eventually we'll get round to the gospel. And look, there's great wisdom in thinking creatively and so on and so forth. But Paul knew, ultimately, the cross of Christ is what people need. That's what I'm going to share. And so we too need to know that. I wondered, do you know the cross? The cross is the message that God made you. He made you in his image to follow him, to obey him as his child. And you and me and every single other human being has gone a different way. We've gone our own way. We've said no to God. And that puts a great big chasm between us and God. And the only way back is not by our bootstraps, but by Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us, for our redemption. And if we want in on that, we've got to have faith in him, put our trust in him. That is the message that Paul knew and he shared. So if you don't yet know the message of the cross, I commend it to you today. If you can't yet explain it, have a go. In front of the mirror is a great place to start if you need to. Don't get distracted. By all means, think of all the other things you want to do to commend Jesus, but keep going to the cross. Promote the gospel by proclaiming the gospel. So this was a man absolutely focused on Jesus Christ and the cross. Thirdly, and I find this so encouraging, here was a man profoundly aware of his weakness. Does that encourage you? I mean, I don't know about you. Evangelism, sharing the gospel is hard, isn't it? And Paul knew his weakness. He said, when I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear, and with much trembling, my message and my preaching were not with wise and with persuasive words. Here was a man who knew his own weakness. I obviously wasn't in Corinth back then, but from what I understand, Corinth was like a TED Talk extravaganza, right? Every time you went around the corner, you had someone who had like a million views for their 10-minute message or something. It was full of people who knew how to communicate and could get an audience in the palm of their hand. And Paul arrived and he's like, oh, how am I going to get started with the gospel here? I mean, I'm no good as a communicator. Then he's like, actually, genius. I don't need to be. In fact, it might be even better for me if I'm not, because that way people will know it's from God. And so, extraordinarily, at the end of this passage, he says, I was really pleased. He said, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. This was Paul's logic. What's going to happen is people are going to come to faith, and then they go, ah, no, that was just because of Paul, because he was, you know, he had great gags in his sermons and things like that. And then someone will be like, no, he didn't. His gags were rubbish. He didn't have any. It's because Jesus did it. It's the Spirit's power. It must be for real. Isn't that great? Isn't that such an encouragement? I remember when Emily and I were at uni, our first year of marriage. There was a girl who'd met Emily on her teacher training course, and man, we just did not really handle this well at all. Like, she was interested in faith, and then we could never work out when to meet up with her, and then she wanted to go along to church, and then we failed to turn up, and just so many things that we got wrong. But the Lord got a hold of her, and all of a sudden faith took flight in her. And she was reading a Bible. She's like, oh, I love this church. Are you coming? No, we've got a bit too much to do right now. No, she was absolutely on fire. Such an encouragement to us to realize that the power is from the Lord. And finally, here was a man who expected to see God at work. Here was a man who expected to see God at work. I wonder, when you share the gospel, do you expect to see God at work? You don't want people to be convinced by charisma or fooled by fashion. You want people to be gripped by the power of God, because there is no replacing that. And actually, you today are the great testimony of the power of God. Here we are reading 2,000-year-old text, all the way back in, written to people in Corinth. And for 2,000 years, that message has been going around the world, spreading like wildfire. And the reason for that is because the power of God is in it. Here was a man who expected to see God at work. So let me just read this passage one last time. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear, and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul. We thank you for the encouragement of gathering today, studying these ancient words, because the Spirit has really worked in power. And those couple of early Christians have become billions and billions of people around the world. Oh Lord, we pray that you would give us a passion for souls, as Paul had. We pray that you would teach us what it means to know Christ and him crucified alone. Lord, we pray that we too would know our own personal weakness and not shy away from it, and yet be expectant for the Spirit to work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.